Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. You can get that Bible guide and also a newsletter downloaded by going to freedomstreet.org. Our webmaster has done a great job in just doing all of that, putting the regular CD series that Darren and I have done. Oh, so anointed, such anointed series under Darren's sessions and under teaching. So you can go there anytime, day or night, and download Bible guide and newsletter and also radio programs on freedomstreet.org. That's the website, freedomstreet.org. Go to resources and click on radio shows, and then you can hear any of them. Oh, Jesus' presence can light your home, my friend, with blessings from above, filling your life with joy and your heart with love. Why don't people want that? I mean, I know, I'm going to be talking about that, getting cold, growing our hearts growing cold when we don't get into the Word of God and understand that He's a loving and merciful God. Oh, it's just such a joy to talk with you about our loving God. And thank you for thinking of Call to Freedom in your giving, in your alms, and some of you are tithing to Call to Freedom. I appreciate that so much. You do not know how much I appreciate your giving. It's just been a wonderful experience knowing the heart of the people that are listening want to give. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And thank you for praying for President Trump in your daily prayers. Wisdom and protection, he's needing that more than ever before. And as I said the other day, I think that's why he's wanting to build the ballroom, because it's going to be a secure place, free from drone attacks and all those things that are going on today. I believe the drones are going to be the heavy duty artillery in these last days. Maybe that's what John was talking about in Revelation, with stingers in them. I know we were talking about helicopters, that kind of thing, but maybe the drones are going to be that army that is coming against the free world. I don't know, but it's exciting, isn't it? It really is. Our memory verse for this week is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Oh, and I'm praying this for you. Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace, the peace of his kingdom, at all times and in all ways, under all circumstances and conditions, whatever comes, the Lord be with you. And I remember when Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give you that wonderful peace. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I don't want you to have a troubled heart, my friend. Here in the Message translation, 2 Thessalonians 3:16 is, may the Master of Peace himself give you the gift of getting along with each other at all times, in all ways. May the Master be truly among you. And I'm going to be talking about offense, because that's what Jesus brought up in Matthew 24. We should never be offended and let that offense fester inside of us and become bitterness. And Jesus himself was talking about offenses. So it's going to be an interesting study. Paul was a prisoner in Rome, and he may have dictated this letter to a friend like Luke. In studying Colossians 1, I'm sorry. in studying Colossians 1, I realize his heart was set on describing Jesus in the most descriptive analysis that he could possibly have done, and that is through Holy Spirit. There's no other way Paul could have written this beautiful book of Colossians. And we realize that the mystery of the Word of God, and it talks about the mystery that has been not been revealed to the men in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was meant for the Jewish people. But the Word of God and the mystery of that Word is revealed in the New Covenant, because it is being preached to the Gentiles now, opening the door to everyone in the world. God's loving and merciful heart open to the world. Praise God. And that's how the promise of John 3:16 is so viable for all to read. Everyone to read. No one is left out from reading this. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't that give new meaning to your heart and soul, that you can witness to anyone on the street and in a different country and their candidates for salvation? Oh, how marvelous, how marvelous. The Word of God is no longer just for the Jewish people. God himself has presented the good news of the gospel to the whole world, including you and me. Oh, praise God. Just the other day, I heard on a report that things don't remain up to date after 36 hours. You listen to the news one day, and the day before is of no consequence anymore. After 36 hours, what you heard just Monday is old news. The Word of God is never, never, never old news. It's always appropriate and up-to-date and valuable for every human being. The world is just spinning round and round, and people are losing touch with themselves because of the noise and chaos all around. It's like people are going deaf. They just can't understand anything anymore. Isaiah spoke of that. They have ears to hear, but they don't hear. Eyes to see, but they don't see. Oh, and fear is such a strong motivator of suicide and mental illness and tragedy. I believe that mental illness is the enemy's solution to cover up demon oppression and demon possession. I truly believe that. There's so much possession by the demons, evil spirits, and we just label it mental illness. That guy has mental illness, and that solves everything. That gives them, the people who have mental illness, permission to kill and steal and destroy people's lives. And when they go on trial and they plead mental illness, they get off. A lot of people just don't get what they actually deserve. And I know God is a merciful God, but sometimes you want to incorporate those verses from the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Oh, my goodness. So are we coming to a point where we're punishing the innocent and letting the perpetrators go, or just give them a slap on the hand? I hope not, friend. I really do. I see Kyle Robinson right now after the hearing, and he's going to trial. They just lengthen the time of trial over and over again to maybe soften the hearts of people that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. Oh, the murder of Charlie Kirk was beyond all reckoning. And I pray that justice will be served here. I really do. God saw this coming. He saw all of this coming in these last days, and that's why he wanted Paul to tell the whole world that Jesus is the answer. That's why we have Colossians 1, the exact representation of God himself. You see Jesus, and you see God. You see God, and you see Jesus. It's just, Jesus said in John 10, I and the Father are one. And we know that as John wrote John 1, he said, I and the Father are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what? The Word was God. So here in Colossians 1, Paul is describing Jesus as the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. For in him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. We know there is more unseen than seen. We just look with our physical eyes and think, well, this is it. No, we haven't even begun to explore every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority. It all exists through Jesus and for his perfect purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. As I said yesterday, every cell in our body is in Him. He is in every cell in our body. Praise the Lord. Do you know why the world is spinning round and round in confusion and fear? They don't recognize Jesus as Lord. They don't. They recognize Him as a curse word, and they want to say all kinds of foul things about Him, but they don't recognize Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they won't give up the control of their world. No, I've got everything pretty well situated. I've got my IRAs. I've got my house paid for. Everything's good. And they're controlling their world. But we realize that when we're in Him, we are crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, we live, but we don't live in our own world. We live in Him. And the life we live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave Himself for us. Praise the Lord. In verse 18 of Colossians 1, it says, He is the head of His body, which is the church. And since He is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, He is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. Now, we know He's not the first one that has been raised from the dead. Just the other day, I talked about Elijah raising up the son of the widow woman, and Elisha also raising up the Shunammite's son. So He's not the only one that's been raised from the dead. He is the only one that is the first fruit of the resurrection of life, of eternal life. Eternal life. Those other resurrections and bringing back to life were not according to the new covenant. So we know that He is the firstborn heir in resurrection. He is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all His fullness dwelling in Christ. So you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. Praise the Lord. And by the blood of His cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to Himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. People don't want to think of the blood of the cross where Jesus died. Oh, that's vulgar, and don't talk to me about that. But when they see a bloody movie, one of those vampire movies out right now, oh, did you see that movie? Wasn't it awesome? What? Hello? The world is caught up in bloody horror movies, but they don't want us to talk about Jesus on the cross and the blood coming from His side, the blood and water. Oh, it's coming, folks, when they will want to hear about the answer to their soul's cry for help. Every knee, at one point here, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The glory of the knowledge of the Lord will cover all the earth, and Christ is the only one who brings salvation to this fallen world. It is in Jesus Christ. When He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through Me. And that's Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 is Jesus released His supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of His own body as the sin payment on your behalf. He was redeemed in your case. You were to die and to probably go to hell. But Jesus, praise His wonderful name, came. He hung on the cross. He was that sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in His presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for He sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Now, some of you don't see yourself as holy and flawless and restored. Oh, Barbara, if you could see what I've done. No. God doesn't see what you've done. When you've confessed your sins, it's forgotten by even God. So there's nothing between you and Father God, for He sees you in Jesus as holy, flawless, and restored. If indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world, says Paul, as he was writing Colossians 1. Oh, as he was dictating, I don't know if he was dictating or writing. You know, he was in shackles. I don't know how he could have done that, but I know he had friends around him who came to visit him. And I'm just assured by Holy Spirit that is where this wonderful anointed word was given. Jesus knew this uncertainty about the future was coming. He warned us in Matthew 24, and this is Jesus speaking. And let's go there for a few minutes to Matthew 24. I get excited when I hear about the end of the world. You get excited? It's going to get awful. When we are in Jesus Christ, we know we are assured of that wonderful peace that I mentioned in John 14:27. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 24. For many will come in on the strength of my name. See, a lot of people say, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim. And they say it in his name. And they're saying maybe, thus saith the Lord. And maybe they're going so far as to say, I am the Messiah, the Christ. They will lead many astray. Many people are willing to listen to these lies. And in verse 6 of Matthew 24, Jesus says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do you know how many wars there are going on in this world? How many countries that are going through terrible times of fear, of crying out with no help? How many are in hunger lines? I mean, line after line, just trying to get some food into their stomachs. The United States is sending plane loads of food and supplies to war-torn countries, and it doesn't look like the wars will end, does it? Well, from the American Center for Law and Justice, I just heard this from an email from Jordan. And it says, just days ago, jihadist gunmen moved through a sleeping village at 2 a.m., going door to door, killing. By morning, dozens of Nigerian Christians were martyred. Among the slaughtered were the pastor and 27 other believers, many from his congregation, shot on sight. Villagers were trapped as gunmen moved about. Phone lines had been cut. Calls for help couldn't be made. This massacre followed an ISIS assault on a worship service where dozens were slaughtered as they prayed. A beloved math teacher was beheaded. Video evidence confirmed the horror. Nigeria called for a national period of mourning, but the persecution didn't stop for it. This is why we went before the United Nations, said the seculos, because we cannot rest until the killing stops. I remember watching the movie, I believe it's called Tears of the Sun, with Bruce Willis and other actors that we know. And it was a horrible yet redeeming story about Nigeria and how they went into these villages where they were being slaughtered. I mean, the jihadists were coming into these villages and just shooting them. And it was horrible, absolutely horrible. And yet, why did you watch it, Barbara? Because I wanted to see them rescue these people. And I'm not even going to talk about the end, but it's a really touching and moving movie, Tears of the Sun, with Bruce Willis. Jesus says here in Matthew 24, see to it that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. The only way you can stand not frightened or troubled is when you know Jesus. He is our safety net, the one we hold on to when the going gets hard. He is the one who Paul is writing about here in Colossians 1. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 25, I'm going back and forth here, I hope you don't mind. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. Lots of earthquakes lately. I mean, devastating earthquakes, one on top of the other in Venezuela. And there will be more. God is going to shake. He is shaking and is going to shake the earth. He is going to keep his beloved safe. I want you to know that. And if for some reason we die in that shaking, oh, we are immediately with him. Immediately. I think of Lindsey Graham when he died suddenly this last weekend. People were mourning. He was only 71, kind of like Darren when he left at 71. But I was in grief and sorrow, but immediately I knew that he was with God and never had to think about physical ailments again. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 8 says, all this is but the beginning, the early pains of the birth pangs of the intolerable anguish. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and utter hopelessness and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I don't believe there was a place that the early church could not go where they were not persecuted. And this happened in the book of Acts and also in Revelation. And many people were martyred then. And we see it still today going on, being martyrs that I just told you about in a Nigerian village. Oh, here we go, folks. Here we go. And verse 10 says, "And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey." Wow, what a profound statement. Verse 10 of Matthew 24, "Many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey." Remember that old song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And so instead of trusting and obeying the one who would give them the answer, they stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue others with hatred. Oh, we see that in the streets of the United States. We see this hatred and this overwhelming proclamation that says we are going to get rid of the presidency. We're going to get rid of the Senate. I mean, you might as well throw the Constitution out the window. Nope. I don't believe this is going to happen. I really don't, because God has offered this country as an absolute wonderful solution to some of the things that are happening in this world. This is not going to happen, folks. It says here, though, in verse 10, "These people who are offended will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred." I know that two of the justices sat before the Congress yesterday asking for extra security. And it's important to note that there's fear even in these high offices in the government, because people have been threatening them. They're going to kill them. They're going to shoot them. They're going to kill their families. And so it is out there. All these threats are out there. Oh, so don't take offense, friend. Don't stumble and fall away from God. And Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24, "And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many into error." Oh, remember, folks, when you hear something, back it up with scripture. I mean, Google is there for you. I do that so much now. I Google Bible verse. Who said this? Is this truth? And Google tells me, and I know they are kind of a left organization, but they do have to tell you the truth in the Word of God. So it says here that many will be led into error in verse 11 of Matthew 24, "And the love of the great body of people will grow cold." That means the majority of the earth, of the population of the earth, will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. I think tomorrow I'm going to be talking about growing cold and hard-hearted and taking offense. And what happens when you do take offense? You are offended and you let it fester and broil inside of you. It is not good for you, spirit, soul, and body. And I'm going to talk about how it affects your spirit, how it affects your soul, and how it ultimately affects your physical body. But Jesus says here in the 13th verse of Matthew 24, "But he who endures to the end will be saved." Yes, I know there is a revival going on right now. And on one side, people's hearts are being softened to hear the word of God. I believe that. There are revivals and water baptisms on the East Coast and on the West Coast, and people are beginning to understand and ache for the word of God, for Jesus. But on the other side, there are people who, like when Jesus spoke at his trial, they gnashed their teeth at him. The Jewish leaders gnashed their teeth at him. Do you know what the word gnash means? And it's spelled G-N-A-S-H. It's an interesting word. And if you've read the King James Version, you've heard a lot about gnashing of teeth. I went into Google and I looked up the word gnash, G-N-A-S-H. And here in Psalm 112, verse 10, it meant to grind or collide with the teeth. And some people have TMJ. They grind their teeth until their teeth are almost nothing at all. "He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away." David right here is saying that there are people, wicked people, who gnash with their teeth, and then God is going to melt them away. They will be no longer. David is talking about, I believe it's in Psalm 37, that I saw the wicked as a big bay tree spreading out all over the land. And I turned around and looked, and he was gone. He was gone. Oh, and here is, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 8, verse 12. Jesus is explaining that when you go into the world and choose the world, when you get into standing before God, when you're standing before God and you realize that all this time on the earth you did not recognize him, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And gnashing also means to rage, even to collision of the teeth, to fume, to growl. And his great iron teeth he still did grind and grimly gnash, threatening revenge in vain. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. And this is another Psalm of David, Psalm 35, verse 16. King David is talking about his enemies. Remember when he had to get out of Jerusalem and they were throwing stones at him. And he said they were grinding their teeth and gnashing their teeth. Oh, I got so much more to talk about with this growing cold and hard-hearted in these last days. Oh, let's not do that. And I'm going to talk also about a little bit of John Milton's Paradise Lost tomorrow as you join me, about Satan and how he thought he would be more powerful than God. Oh, it's going to be really dead for him. I mean, hell is licking its chops at Satan and all his evil horde. And we're going to be explaining that tomorrow some more. Oh, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute delight to know that you're listening and you're wanting more and more of the Word of God. I bless you and I keep you in Jesus' name. And may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and his countenance look upon you with peace. I grant you peace today in Jesus' name. I love you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.